Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. Well, you think about the Internet of Things. What is it, and what does it have to do with your future? First of all, let's think about the Internet. Everybody's getting on it or on it, and if you're not on it, when you actually call a business or you call someone and tell them something and they put it in their business, guess what they do with that? They normally enter that in some sort of secure database and put it on the Internet. So many things are on the Internet that they were concerned about, you know, terrorist attacks shutting down our power system and our power grid. Well, let's just go back. What happens when you push one button and make one request on the Internet? I mean, how does it work? What really goes on? Because we push that button and something happens on our computer, but there's so much more to it than that. Let's just take a simple look at what happens when you ask the computer, the Internet for one thing. Watch this.
Have you ever wondered what happens when someone in England visits the World Science Festival's webpage? First, their computer needs to ask the World Science Festival server for a copy of that webpage. The computer sticks this request into a virtual envelope called a packet, wrapped with specific information about that request, including the World Science Festival's IP address. The computer sends this packet out of the house and below the street via large underground copper wires. It passes through small regional networks before ending up here at Telehouse North in London. Telehouse North is England's main internet hub. The IP address on this packet tells the hub that the World Science Festival server is actually in Los Angeles. So Telehouse North sends the packet out as light across the Atlantic, over fiber optic cables buried deep beneath the ocean. The packet ends up here, 60 Hudson Street, New York City, the largest internet hub on the East Coast. This hub sends the packet through a series of regional networks connecting New York to Los Angeles, where the World Science Festival server resides. The server reads the request and gets ready to send the web page to England. But web pages made up of images and text are too large to send as a single packet of data. So how do we get it back to England? Imagine a group of 5,000 tourists visiting New York City in a single gigantic tour bus. They are way up in Harlem, but they want to visit the Statue of Liberty before it closes. But it's rush hour on a Friday. There's no way that giant bus is going to fit through those crazy congested streets. So they decide to get off the bus and spread out. Some take the subway, some take cabs, a few rent bikes, and some even take kayaks down the Hudson River. How they get there doesn't matter, as long as they get there on time. Likewise, for the internet to work efficiently, this web page is pulverized into thousands of tiny packets of data, each one wrapped with all of the information it needs to rebuild itself in England. The packets are sent to LA's One Wilshire Hub, which checks the traffic report before sending them off. Through miles and miles of land they travel, checking in through different hubs. Like our New York City tourists, those packets don't care how they get there, as long as they get there as fast as possible. Most of them will go through 60 Hudson in New York, where they are redirected back to England as light, riding a fiber of glass as thick as a silver dollar. Then back on copper wire, through regional British networks, until all the packets reach their destination and... And this epic journey? It all happens in about a second, along with trillions upon trillions of similar journeys that happen each and every day on this remarkable, easy to take for granted, network of networks we call the Internet.
It all happens in 1 second. You pushed one button, you type in VFNTV.com, pull up our website, and all that's taking place all around the world at the speed of light going on copper. It's amazing, isn't it? But what happens with that is it passes through all these different governments and systems, and they get to spy on and check on and see what you're pulling up on your internet. What button did you push? And, you know, more about you. What did you buy from Amazon.com? It's called like the Internet of Things. But first, I want you to see this IoT. If you see this, remember, this means something, because what they're saying right now, they're saying they're just showing that particular IoT, which stands for the Internet of Things. You got to remember, they're talking about everything we're talking about on today's program. which means everything that you're doing and they're monitoring, it happens on the Internet of Things. As a matter, let me take a look at this as it begins to explain a little bit. As this lady's driving in her car, maybe you can relate to this and how the Internet of Things, all these things around us, can help us out. Take a look.
The Internet of Things is changing much about the world we live in, from the way we drive to how we make purchases and even how we get energy for our homes. Sophisticated sensors and chips are embedded in the physical things that surround us, each transmitting valuable data, data that lets us better understand how these things work and work together. But how exactly do all these devices share such large quantities of data, and how do we put that information to work? Whether we're improving the production of a factory, giving city residents real-time updates on where to park, or monitoring our personal health, it's the common Internet of Things platform that brings this diverse information together and provides the common language for the devices and apps to communicate with each other. The process starts with the devices themselves, which securely communicate with an Internet of Things platform. This platform integrates the data from many devices and applies analytics to share the most valuable data with applications that address industry-specific needs. Let's start with a simple example, a car. After taking a long road trip, Rebecca notices that her check engine light has come on. She knows that she needs to have her car looked at by a mechanic, but is not sure whether it's something minor or something that needs immediate attention. As it turns out, the sensor that triggered Rebecca's check engine light monitors the pressure in her brake line. This sensor is one of many monitoring processes throughout the car, which are constantly communicating with each other. A component in the car called the diagnostic bus gathers the data from all these sensors, then passes it to a gateway in the car. The gateway integrates and sorts the data from the sensors. This way, only the most relevant diagnostic information will be transmitted to the manufacturer's platform. But before sending this organized data, the car's gateway and platform must first register with each other and confirm a secure communication. The platform is constantly gathering and storing thousands of bits of information from Rebecca's car and hundreds of thousands of cars like hers, building an historical record in a secure database. The manufacturer has added rules and logic to the platform. So when Rebecca's car sends a signal that her brake fluid has dropped below a recommended level, the platform triggers an alert in her car. The manufacturer also uses the platform to create and manage applications that solve specific issues. In this case, the manufacturer can deploy an application on the platform called the Asset Management System. This application oversees all of their customers' cars on the road, as well as all the parts in their warehouses. It uses the data from Rebecca's car to offer her a potential appointment time to service her car, directions to the nearest certified dealer, and a coupon for the service. What's more, the app will ensure that Rebecca's brakes are covered under her warranty, that the correct replacement part is ordered, and then sent to the dealership so it is ready when she arrives. But the manufacturer's analysis does not stop there. They have also deployed a continuous engineering application that tracks not only Rebecca's car, but hundreds of thousands of others, looking for ways to improve the design and manufacturing process of the car itself. If the same problem in her brake line crops up in a critical number of other cars, the manufacturer uses applications custom built for the automobile industry to pinpoint the exact problem. They can see if these cars were made at the same factory, used the same parts, or came off the assembly line on the same day. So what do all these pieces add up to? Streamlined inventory management for the dealer, a better, safer car from the manufacturer. And for Rebecca, it means she can be back on the road faster and get to where she's going safely. All thanks to the Internet of Things.
It seems so nice. I mean, think about it. So much help and all these things are going taking place. But look, I mean, the Internet of Things is everything that we're using today. I mean, refrigerators have some sort of identifier on them. Toasters have some sort of, your cell phone, your home phone, these voice over internet telephones offered by Cox Communication, these other internet service providers, your PlayStation 2, your Xbox, your television, all these things are connected to the internet and they're gathering all this data. And what are they doing with this data? And what does James Clapper, the head of the National Security, saying that we want to be able to get into that data and what he's saying about it? And what Jay Johnson, Homeland Security, is talking about? We can just use the Internet of Things, the Internet of Things, to be able to bring security to America. And what did God tell me in a prophetic encounter in a night vision about all this data?
Yeah, this is crazy, right?
Amazing.
So we're all bought into the system. And make sure you have watched this program and our next program because it's going to kind of come together in explaining how connected we already are to all this. But we're going to be explaining this. What do you do with all this data? And you're looking at right now, it's 1851. You're seeing up here. We're going to explain, because all this data, what do they do with it?
When you think about all the different things that are actually connected to the internet, you mentioned it a little bit earlier, refrigerators, televisions, phones. You have Fitbits and all these things that are monitoring health, your cars. And
every business that you do business they're accounting on the internet. And all those things.
They said
your searches.
5 years ago, they said that the biggest thing that these companies were going to war for was the television, the living room space. And now you're seeing these TVs have come down, way down in prices with more technology to monitor. And the new thing now, Greg, is wearables. So now it's just smartwatches, or whether it's, you know, some sort of jewelry, but every single thing on your body is going to be pretty much connected to the internet all the time.
Yeah, and these games that you're getting your children, they have cameras on. They're watching what's going on, like Xboxes and PlayStations and everything your kid's doing, is gathering this database, making that route that's going around. But let's explain a little bit, and this next one is seeing, what do they do with all this data? Because you got this big pile of data, and most people go, they can't do anything with it, but they got ways now.
Absolutely.
IBM explains what they do with this data. As a matter of fact, take a look.
Over the past century, but accelerating over the past couple of decades, we've seen the emergence of a kind of global data field. The planet itself, natural systems, human systems, physical objects, have always generated an enormous amount of data, but we didn't used to be able to hear it, to see it, to capture it. Now we can, because all of this stuff is now instrumented. And it's all interconnected, so we can actually have access to it. So, in effect, the planet has grown a central nervous system.
So there's about 1 billion people using the internet at the moment, and that's set to grow to probably 2 billion in the next couple of years. And we think that's quite a lot, but over the last 10 years, I've been looking at devices being linked up together using networks, so little sensors on things, you know, these temperature sensors and traffic sensors and flow rate of water and how much electricity, all transmitting data. It won't be long, and it may even have happened already, that there's more things on the internet than there are people on the internet. That's really what we mean by the Internet of Things. Then you get this sea of data that you just drown in, literally. And there's this triangle that's been quite well documented called the DIKW triangle. That's data, information, knowledge, and the tip at the top is wisdom. The D at the bottom is a sea of data, and when we get this data back home and start doing stuff with it, we apply intelligence to it and transform up that stack. So we go from data into information, information into knowledge, and then glean some wisdom from that. And that's really what it's, or the analytics part of our Smarter Planet story is all about. But the ideal day, I guess, would be that I wake up in the morning and my alarm clock went off at the right time because it had looked in my diary to know when my first meeting was and had backtracked which ferry I need to get and therefore what time I need to get up. The bathroom heater would have been on for half an hour before that time to make the bathroom nice and warm. I'd know that the temperature had been freezing overnight and therefore that my ice was going to need to be scraped off my car, so I need to leave the house 5 minutes earlier. And then I'd be getting a notification, perhaps an audio announcement in my car as I drive to the ferry saying, oh, the ferries are running 5 minutes late, so you know, no need to rush, just take your time. All that stuff is being handled by autonomic systems of little agents looking out on my behalf for the things it knows I want to do, you know, just making me aware of what's going on so that I can plan my day accordingly. So a system of systems is really what emerges when you start to link these things up. So the fact that you've got isolated systems, for example, my house on its own, with its energy monitoring and the water monitoring and the detecting if the windows and doors are open, that kind of stuff, it's a system, certainly, but it's not a system of systems. But if you start to think about the power grid, first of all, the appliances negotiate with each other. So they say, OK, guys, Andy wants all three of us to operate, but it's going to be bad for the grid if we all go on at the same time. So now suddenly we've got systems talking to each other, sort of acting smarter because they know about each other, which overall makes the entire system more efficient.
There are more human beings living in cities now as of last year than ever before in human history, and that doesn't look like a trend that's reversing. For every 4 text messages that a pedestrian sends while walking down the sidewalk, the sidewalk she's on is sending an equivalent amount of data. There are sensors all over the place, certainly in the water main. They're registering blockages or not right beneath your feet. Taxis are, you know, broadcasting their position and fare status back to dispatch. Trains and buses are updating their locations in real time, which people are reading on that street corner. A matrixing of services creates a more resilient thing. And, you know, we can let a water main blockage speak to the road signals above it and do something quickly before police can get there. Soon enough, you know, we will just expect to be told exactly when the bus will arrive.
You know, look at that complex set of relationships among all these complex systems. If we can actually begin to see the patterns in the data, then we have a much better chance of actually getting our arms around this. That's where societies become more efficient. That's where more innovation is sparked. When we talk about a smarter planet, you could say that it has two dimensions. One is to be more efficient, be less destructive, connect different aspects of life which do affect each other in more conscious and deliberate and intelligent ways. But the other is also to generate fundamentally new insights, new activity, new forms of social relations. So you could look at the planet as an information creation and transmission system. And the universe was hearing its information, but we weren't. But increasingly now we can. Early days, baby steps days, but we can actually begin to hear the planet talking to us.
So you look at this, I mean, that's breaking it down.
Yes.
Every single thing is being monitored, and it's a matter of us giving permission. And we're going to talk about, make sure you stay tuned to this whole program, even in our next program. Mm-hmm. But Nehemiah talks about that.
Yeah.
The book of Nehemiah is speaking about, they're talking about every part of their body was under control of the government because of their sin.
Wow.
So make sure you want to, all this is coming together, even a prophetic a night vision the Lord gave me about all this data and what's really going on. But think about this, John. I mean, everything, all this data, everybody says, you know, give me data and we can figure things out. We had a program on earlier this last week about how, you know, the data is helping us resolve quicker medical problems.
Sure.
And helping people cure. And it's like, you know, the fountain of youth, how everybody's searching, trying to live longer. But the commitment to God is, I'll let you live for eternity if you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. But you look at this. I think about this, John. I think about families. You know, you have, everybody has some sort of PlayStation game thing or Xbox or cell phone or
Apple TV, Roku.
Apple TV, computers. And they don't, the family doesn't even communicate.
No.
But they're all in this particular, they find out what's happening with their family when, even though they live in the same house, when they look at someone else's Facebook in their own household, it's like, hey, I see you were talking to so-and-so.
Right.
But the interesting thing about that is you may have a father that's working in his office, in his home. You may have the mother who is reading a book or something through audio books or Amazon iBooks or something in another room. You have the children doing what they're doing.
What is that exactly?
Whatever you're doing is part of it too. Then you have the brother, you know, son doing something, and you have the daughter doing something, posting, you know, social media or whatever. And they don't even know it. But you know what? The people who over the internet, they know everything you're doing. And they're gathering all that data. Oh, well, she's got some issues with this, and he's got some stuff with this. And, you know, he's struggling with something because he's searching for medication for his heart, and she's likes these kind of books. So she obviously likes to think about relationships outside of her relationship because he reads fantasy, you know, books.
Novels,
and they're building all this stuff up on us, and the families don't even know. When you sit around the table as a family, the family now has been so divided and so isolated. But understand, it's not divided or isolated away from this particular image, this thing being created. It knows more than anybody would know. Mm. I mean, think about bits and bits and pieces of information. And you can see that pyramid right here where they gather that together and it's got the data in the box, you know, this huge sea of data.
Sure.
What does that mean? They build knowledge from that. They gather information from that. And the very point, they say, we get wisdom from that.
Mm.
Wisdom comes from God. You don't have to have computers. But it makes me think about the knowledge of the tree, of the knowledge of good and evil. He said, once they eat from this tree, you know, we'll talk more about that, but once they eat from this tree, then they'll be like us, Adam and Eve. So we need to move them out of the garden so they don't take up and eat from and live forever in that condemned state.
It's pretty amazing because you see all this information that's being, like you said, data that's being connected and given on a daily basis, and people are happy to get rid of all the data. They're happy to have connectivity, but that's all that information is going somewhere, and there's other people that are trying to take advantage of your data.
Look how far that information went. It went through everybody's back door, every business you can imagine. It went all the way. You know, you have people complaining about New York. And it's like your information went through New York.
Yeah.
Everything you've ever done on the internet, every single image, page, whatever you pull up, goes everywhere like the speed of light.
Amazing.
It's very amazing. This thing, you know, it's what we call the furnace. You know, it's like, understand, no matter what people are doing, and we all need a savior, and that we're saved by grace and not by works, but we have to proclaim the gospel, even in this day when the image is being built and created, and people go with we're going to talk about our next program. You got to catch our next program, how people get these withdrawals and they're addicted to this relationship with this image, with this system. It's amazing what happens. Also, we're going to be talking about in our next, after this break, not our next program, right after this break, what Jay Johnson, Homeland Security, why is he talking about the Internet of Things? Why does the Homeland Security want to know everything about how you're driving, what you're saying on your text messages, what your social media? You know, they don't even check in the social media of a terrorist.
Of a terrorist, but they wanted
San Bernardino, they didn't want to look at her Facebook, but they're wanting to look at all of ours. It's a system. It's all being set up, and we got to pay close attention to it because God mentions it very specifically in Revelation chapter 13. God spoke to me very specifically in a night vision. I'll be telling you about that after this break. In addition, we're going to be talking about after the break. It's called war driving, where people have the ability to drive through your neighborhood, and they tap into your system. You have all these, you know, video security systems on houses. You got these electronic locks that you can unlock with your cell phone. Well, if you can unlock it with your cell phone, someone else can unlock it with
Absolutely.
Your cell phone too, because when you push the button, it goes all over the place, comes right back, and all of a sudden your door gets unlocked. Imagine if a criminal was looking at your video cameras, finding out whether you're home or not, sees you're not home, pulls up to your house, pushes a button, and all of a sudden unlocks your house, go in and robs your house, turns off the cameras, robs your house, turns everything back on, and leaves. I mean, that's what war driving is about. We're going to talk about that. What Jay Johnson's saying with Homeland Security, what James Clapper's saying with
United States Intelligence.
United States Intelligence, and why are they violating our Fourth Amendment rights? This is our right. They cannot search our data without our permission, but they're doing it every day. War driving, W-A-R, war driving. I mean, do you see cars pulling in your neighborhood and just, out of the middle of the world, just stop in your neighborhood and just kind of park there? You know what they could be doing? That could be somebody's son or daughter who were told by their parents, you can have this device, but it can't be on the internet. So what they do is they wander through the community trying to find Wi-Fi that's not password protected.
Yes.
And that's where they use their Xbox. That's where they use their
PlayStation
2. Happens
all the time in New York and New Jersey and all these apartments. Yeah. And it can happen in any apartment building, really.
And but people do it for evil. As a matter of fact, there's a thing called war driving, where they're trying to tap into your home and your security system and your cameras. As a matter of fact, take a look at this.
The Internet of Things describes the ever-growing number of intelligent objects that are being connected to the internet and each other. These systems are infiltrating the heart of our critical infrastructure and are forming the basis of current and future smart services. Smartphones, tablets, wearable technology, and smart home devices are now being adopted into our everyday lives, and they're starting to appear on enterprise networks. As we continue to embed these interconnected objects and a wider variety of wireless devices infiltrate enterprise infrastructures, the security risks posed by the Internet of Things is becoming more complex and may have serious consequences. Some of these risks are already emerging. For example, many Internet of Things devices in our homes can be connected to a smart hub for easier setup and use. Unfortunately, some of these smart hubs contain serious vulnerabilities that could allow an attacker to walk up to the front door and unlock a smart lock that is connected to a smart hub. For specific smart hub products, this is 100% certain if the attacker successfully gains access to our home's Wi-Fi network. Vulnerabilities in these devices may also allow cyber criminals to search and locate these smart locks while driving around a city, known as war driving. Attackers could then hack into the smart hub to see which devices are attached and even monitor the home through its security cameras. By exploiting these security vulnerabilities, hackers may become uninvited guests to our homes.
That is amazing, isn't it?
Amazing.
So when this is whatever information you give to everyone is the amount of freedom you give up.
Mm-hmm.
So if you give up, all of your personal information, you don't have freedom anymore.
Yeah.
And so you think about it. We will talk about the Fourth Amendment in a few moments. But look at the one who's supposed to protect us. You look at Jay Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Jay Johnson says very specifically that he's speaking about the Internet of Things. This is the one supposed to protect us. And he's talking about saying right here, he says, we will collaborate with Underwriters Laboratory and others. What does that mean? Whatever they want to do. And others to develop a cyber security assurance program to test certified networks devices within the Internet of Things. There it is, the Internet of Things, such as your home alarm system, your refrigerator, and even your pacemaker.
Wow.
Now think about this. Your pacemaker is sending out signals, your microwave sending out signals, your phone sending out signals, and Jay Johnson with Homeland Security saying, hey, we're going to go in there and we're going to protect you.
We're going to protect you.
The Fourth Amendment is specifically, about protecting us from the government. Before we even look at the Fourth Amendment, let's look at James Clapper here with the head of security, right?
U.S. Intelligence.
U.S. Intelligence. And what he says specifically about the Internet of Things. Watch this.
James Clapper, head of the intelligence agencies in the United States, said that there were doubts about the potential benefits that would provide connected devices in the future regarding your options in monitoring and espionage. In testimony before the U.S. Senate, Clapper admitted that in the future, the intelligence services could use the Internet of Things for the identification, surveillance, monitoring, tracking the location and setting targets for recruitment, or to gain access to networks or credentials users. That small hyper-future technology that we face big and has many interesting advantages but also risks that we try to control our own use of these devices. Many security experts assume that the intelligence agencies of the United States and by extension, around the world try to access all data transferred between these devices. This week the White House announced the creation of a post for the so-called Chief Information Security Officer, who will manage everything related to cybersecurity. Its tasks will be to make sure that the Department of Homeland Security test and certify connected to the Internet of Things devices. All these devices will be an almost unlimited source of data on the types of activities that users perform with them, and it is surprising that once someone like Clapper has admitted something. It remains to see where the debate on privacy that seems again that American citizens and the rest of the world are not entitled as such.
These guys are supposed to protect us.
Wow.
They're supposed to protect us. And you're looking at, there was a day that if you had a mortgage, it was on a piece of paper and it was filed in a folder in a bank somewhere, or you had a birth certificate, it was filed at the city hall in some sort of paper folder, or if you're in a doctor, they had all the paperwork, you had
records.
A cold in August and records, it was sitting there. Your school, report cards and your... the
progress reports.
Yeah,
and transcripts.
Transcripts was all on a piece of paper. There was a day that your power bill was a printed out piece of paper that got mailed to your house, a piece of paper that was arrived in your mailbox, and you filed it away for your IRS audits or whatever was going on. And it was all on pieces of paper. And so the Fourth Amendment, you look at the Fourth Amendment here, it's very important because all of our papers are now digital papers. And we didn't say we give up our rights.
No.
And the Fourth Amendment is not to protect us from ISIS. It's not to protect us from Joe the hacker, and the war driver. It's supposed to protect us from government. Look at the Fourth. Oh, go ahead.
Before you say that, what's interesting is that there's this 1986 Electronics Communications Act, and basically that act, which is outdated, which has not been updated. No one's been interested in changing this law.
They don't want to mess with it because they're going to lose control. Right now they can control all of that stuff.
What that law basically says is that all of the email that you have that you use from Gmail or Yahoo, whatever free email service you have, any emails that stay on the server, stay on the cloud, stay on the internet, that you don't delete, that are past 6 months, are considered abandoned, free property. So they don't have to go through any kind of Fourth Amendment, which is searching, you know, warrants, which we'll talk about here in a second. They can just go right at it and take it.
So delete your emails after 30 days, I guess. But look at the Fourth Amendment. The Fourth Amendment is so important to understand that this is supposed to protect us from the government. Believe it or not, America is an experiment that took place because governments used to barge through your front door. The soldiers could come in. They could eat from your pantry. They could do whatever they wanted to because the government prior to America thought that the king or the ruler was established by God. In some places, they said they were God, and that anything they did was acceptable. Now, America is where the government is by the people and for the people, that we believe that God is the one who gives rights and that we have to turn to the people who needs to be of God to be able to understand and relate and acknowledge God for this country to even work. And so if it's our government, then we need something to protect us from it so it doesn't overstep the true authority, which is the people of America.
Absolutely. And the Fourth Amendment, which you're about to read, is actually part of the Constitution.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
We're talking about the U.S. Constitution.
Yes. And it's the Bill of Rights, the first 10. This is the fourth one, right?
Yeah, and why it is so important to have elected officials to ask them their opinion about how do you feel about the Constitution? Is it a living document that you think that you could interpret? Or what was the original intent of our founders?
And we will be talking more about that with the Supreme Court in a future program. But look right here. This is the Fourth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. And understand, this is meant to protect us from the government. It says the right of the people to be secure in their person, their house, their papers, and effects against unreasonable search and seizure shall not be violated. Mm. And no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the person or things to be seized. I mean, not only are we protected by the Fourth Amendment, or supposed to be, but James Clapper can't just go, I'm going to hack the Internet of Things. You can't just say, and this is what they're saying, by the way. They're saying that once you give permission to the phone company to keep your information, to Google, or to some corporation or some plumbing business up the street, there's no more Fourth Amendment right protection over that data.
Right, because you gave up that responsibility, and do businesses, they have the right to be, you know, under the businesses come under the Fourth Amendment.
Well, yeah, it's really probably time to start, you know, putting serious confinement in people's future.
Yeah.
Who still, if somebody broke into your house and stole your mortgage papers and your security papers and your bills and that type of thing, they would go to jail for burglary and they would serve 5-10 years for that.
That's right.
And now people can steal digitally and your information, and people just kind of wink at it.
Yeah.
And there's no protection of that. So I just want to say this. I want to say this before we go to break, because after this break, we're going to talk to you specifically about a prophetic vision the Lord gave about this data, you know, what God's word says about it, and what Nehemiah said, because of our sin, every part of us was under control. And you can see how that could work. Now your arm can have its own identifier. Mm. Your family can have their own identifiers. Your toaster can have its own identifier. Your, not only your car, but your brake system, your carburetor, your heart pacer. I mean, everything.
It is just too much information for anybody to have.
But they mine it and put it together and use it to be able to control. And it says very specifically in the Book of Revelation that this beast image is going to be established in the image of the beast, and people are not going to be able to. It's going to be an economy. Nobody can buy or sell without this identifier, this mark. And you see now how it actually can work. You think about it, all this data is being gathered, just tons of data. That's what it is. Data is like, you know, what happened here, what happened there. It's just piling up. God spoke to me. He spoke to me in a dream, in a night vision. He showed me specifically, I was in this large room of people in this big building where it's not separate offices, but like pods, like divider walls.
Cubicles.
Cubicles. And there was just tons of them and people in every one of them. And they were just entering data, social security numbers, dates of birth, all this kind of data. Then as I was seeing this take place, I thought, man, this is not right. And immediately, and nobody could talk. They wouldn't let anybody communicate about what's going on. So you're hearing VFN TV talk about it, but you're not hearing anybody really talk about
it. No.
And so there was a rule that nobody could talk about it, but we all had a bulletin board where we can write on it. We could write on that bulletin board. And I immediately got up. I was going to write on this bulletin board where everybody can see it. You're probably seeing it back here. There you go. I knew it would show up back there. That as I began to write on this bulletin board, I wrote this statement up. It was very important. And the number of his name was 666. This whole thing was about like a beast economy. It was that image that's being put together. It makes me think about Revelation chapter 13. John, read Revelation chapter 13 to us.
Revelation 13, 16. This image or... all people, forced all people, great and small, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hands or on their foreheads so that they could not buy or sell unless they had the mark. This calls for wisdom. Let the person who has insight calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of man. That number is 666.
So let's go back and look again at what I wrote in this night vision. I was trying to tell everybody what this whole system is about. And I said, and the number of his name is 666. So this whole data gathering is about controlling an economy. You can't buy or sell. You cannot. And you think about it, if you can't buy, everything that you do is about buying and selling. The clothes that you're wearing started on a tree somewhere, on a bush somewhere, is cotton. Yeah. And it got sold from the farmer to the textiles to the local market. I mean, everything's about buying and selling.
Just recently, they swapped out everyone's debit card with that RFID chip. Just with that new little...
It sends out a signal.
You couldn't even use your bank card until you got a new one.
Right.
With this, and all the businesses transferred and the way they did business.
All the television networks got turned over to digital-type networks. The phones, if you're using like a phone from your internet service provider, that's not a wired phone. That is a... data system that's going through the air like that. But understand this, nothing's happening by surprise. I mean, that's a prophetic statement, Revelation 13. Mm-hmm. I mean, God's telling us. And he says he will do nothing unless he reveals it through his prophets first, where he gives a dream, a night vision about specifically what this data gathering is all about. And he says it's about the beast economy. It's just what's being worked towards what to do. But it's as for us, we got to say, you know, no matter what happens, am I going to be in sin? And there's more, the more things get to the way they are, the easier it's going to be to sin.
Oh, yeah.
The more commitment you got to have, like Job, I've committed that I'm not going to sin. And if you do, then the Lord will give you a grace not to do it. But if you do, God forgives you. Get away from all those type of things that are trying to control
distance
you.
Distance yourself, absolutely.
And realize this, too, that the very fact that, you're okay, that no matter what happens, that you're going to have eternal life.
That's right.
You want to live for God. You don't want to hide out somewhere with your grub and your guns and your gold. You want to come out and say, you know, I'm going to tell you about Jesus. You know,
I
mean, we're reaching the world through VFN TV like that. But I want you to see what Nehemiah said. This is so important. Now it makes sense to you. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 37. Because, very specifically, now you understand how every part of someone's body can be under the control of the government. Look at this. Nehemiah 9, 37. He says, because of our sins, our abundant harvest goes to the government you have placed over us. That's God. You have placed over us. They rule over our bodies and our food as they please, and we are in a great distress. Mm. That would not make sense unless we told you this whole program. This whole program is about Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 37. We're going to have to get the heart of Nehemiah. We're going to have to rise up and say, wait a minute. This is the reality. They're working towards controlling every part of our body, all of our food. I mean, it's what they're doing. And so, because man has to do that because he's not God. He has to come up with some system to be able to control and to manage and to do things.
And they're doing it three ways: convenience, entertainment, and for security.
Yes.
If they can get those three for you,
yes,
we're more than happy to give them all of our liberties and all of our freedom. And
Yes. And think of it this way. You know, whatever it takes to get the message out to let people know that God loves them and God has a plan for their life. And no matter all the plans of the enemy, all the plans of men and nations can be thwarted at a moment's notice by God. And God's plans are forever. They're good and they're forever. And he said very specifically when John was reading Revelation 13, he says all this stuff's going on with the economy and buying and selling and this stuff we're talking about today, the internet of things, it's going to require wisdom. It's going to require wisdom. And wisdom comes from God, not the pyramid of data, gathered data, knowledge, information, all of a sudden this pyramid of wisdom. God is wisdom. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you today, make a decision for him. It's going to be so difficult. The further we go, the more you're going to lean on these unnatural things, and they're going to try to be God to you and provide every need. Driving down the road, all of a sudden, like that lady with her car, everything gets met. That's not God. That's man's systems that was developed to be able to make you feel like they met your needs. God can fully meet your needs, and he did everything through his son. He met our needs. You can make that decision today by just calling out to him, and you can even go to meetmyfather.org where we shared our testimonies, how we met God through his son, Jesus Christ. I want to pray for you right now. Father God, I thank you for the wisdom. I thank you for speaking to me in a dream. I thank you for showing specifically where we are in the season and the day that we're in. But Lord, we ask you for wisdom, not what they get through data, not how they're tracking all the things that we're doing. What is man? We're not afraid of men. But what do you want us to do in this day? I just pray for each and everyone that's watching and listening that they wouldn't get fearful. They wouldn't become more isolated, but they would get more bold and stand on the mountaintops and say, Jesus Christ is Lord, and be bold and get this message out any way that we can. Lord, I pray for the salvation of those who are listening. Your day is drawing close, Lord. We just look up knowing the redemption of your people is soon. God, we ask you, Lord, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray. In Jesus' name. Be sure to join us in our next program. You're going to be really surprised how this is going to go to the next level, how people are getting into relationships with these computers. It's called the operating systems. Make sure you join us. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN-TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.